It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. Last time we left off with our study in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And I spoke of how that salvation is a fact. It's a fact that Jesus Christ gave his life for us, and salvation is a free gift. And in order to go to heaven, we must accept the free gift of Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us, for humans, for people to be saved. And salvation is by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I mentioned Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, where it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then I mentioned the fact that many people look for a feeling. They think that having a feeling is salvation. Well, salvation is a fact. Salvation is by faith. And then salvation brings feeling. In other words, it brings joy to the heart of the people who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I used as an example the Ethiopian eunuch that Philip had led to the Lord. And it says that when they parted, that the Ethiopian eunuch, and we read this in verse 39 of Acts chapter 8, where it says, "He went on his way rejoicing." And we need to be rejoicing today in the Lord, those of us who have trusted him as Lord and Savior, because we have everything to rejoice about. And if you've never trusted him, don't look for the feeling until you get saved. You need to trust Jesus Christ. Fact, faith, feeling. The feeling will come when you have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, also, not only do we see and do we have as human beings when we get saved, joy after we get saved, there's even joy in heaven when a person received Jesus Christ as Savior. The Bible tells us this. Luke chapter 15 and verse 10 says, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." I believe that there are saved people up there who've gone on before. I believe they're up there rejoicing when a person gets saved. I believe that Jesus rejoices. God the Father rejoices when a person gets saved here. It doesn't say the angels are rejoicing. I believe they're standing around and they're kind of scratching their heads and they're saying, "I wonder what this is all about." They probably couldn't understand why Jesus could come into this world and die for wicked people like you and I. But Jesus did come into this world, and he did die for you and I, and he died for the whole world. The whole world could be saved if they would simply trust him as Lord and Savior. I want to read that verse again, Luke 15:10. "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." I believe there's happiness today because somewhere people are getting saved today. They are trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There must be a chorus going on up there of cheers, of people cheering and having joy because people are being saved. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Now, this is our verse, and this is our chapter that we're in now, chapter 4. And the verse we're looking at right now is verse 30, Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Now, notice with me, if you would, the Bible says there, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit." The word "grieve" used here means to afflict with sorrow. Can you imagine causing the Holy Spirit to have sorrow? Well, the Bible says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit." It means to afflict with sorrow, to make sad or sorrowful, to cause distress. I believe not only can a saved person cause the Holy Spirit to be grieved, I believe that that every time the Word of God goes forth and touches a person who's not saved and that person refuses Jesus as Savior, I believe that grieves the heart of God because he does not want anyone dying and going to a devil's hell. But the Holy Spirit can also be grieved by a Christian. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 9, it says, "And the king was sorry, and this means distressed. And I'm using this as an example here. It says, "Nevertheless, for the oath's sake and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. This is a human sorrow. This is being distressed, according to that verse. The king was distressed. He was sorrowing. And then to Matthew 17:23, and they shall kill him. Notice this. And they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. And that means distressed. This caused them grief. Knowing that and thinking that Jesus Christ was going to be killed, that he was going to die, they should have listened and paid attention a little more, and they wouldn't be so distressed and grieved, because it says in that same verse of Matthew 17:23, and the third day, he, that's Jesus Christ, shall be raised again. He wasn't going to remain dead. He was going to come out of the grave. He was going to be raised from the dead. But these people, they're human. They were human. And they heard him say that he was going to be killed. And this is what was on their minds. They knew, according to what he was saying, that he was going to be killed. And you know, when we go to, we read the Word of God and we get further over into the Scriptures, how that he was killed, how that he was taken to the cross of Calvary. Now, he was killed, but he laid down his life voluntarily. They couldn't take it from him. That was tried so many times as we study the Word of God. The Pharisees and scribes, they tried to kill Jesus on many occasions, but it wasn't time for him to die at that point. But when it came time for him to die, he laid down his life willingly. He went to the cross of Calvary. Now, these same people in Matthew 17:23 that we read about here, many of them saw him hanging on the cross. They saw the Savior dying, and I'm sure that at that point they probably said, what's the use? You know, he's gone, and I don't know what to do now. Well, once again, Jesus Christ did not remain in the grave. He came out, and the Bible tells us that there, before he went back to heaven, there were over 500 people who saw Jesus Christ before he went back to glory. They saw him not in the tomb, not in the grave. They saw him raised from the dead. They saw him alive. And they were witnesses to the fact that he had risen from the dead. And once again, we talk about joy. This brought joy to the heart of those people who had seen him die, because now they knew that he was alive. He was alive. And he was going back to heaven. And you know, we read the book of John, and we find out that as he went back, he sent someone else. He sent another comforter, the Bible says. That other comforter would lead the people into all truth. And he's leading us today, those people who know him as Lord and Savior. Well, he also leads the unsaved person to salvation. He lets that unsaved person know how to be saved. But the Holy Spirit is a comforter. He comforts us in time of grief. He comforts us in time of distress, in other words. Anything that comes into our lives that causes us problems, that distresses us, the Holy Spirit is there to take care of us, to help us through difficult times. And when I have the opportunity and the privilege of doing a funeral service, I mention to those who are grieved, and I pray to the Lord, Lord, I would not have you to take the grief away. Lord, could you make it a little easier? And you see, we need to grieve over that lost loved one that has gone on, that person who has gone on to be with the Lord. Now, when I say that lost loved one, I mean they have died. And prayerfully and hopefully, and we think of this as them being with the Lord, but there's still a grief in our heart, because that is a loved one to whom we've known for a long time. And that person is now gone, and we do not see that person. But you can have the joy of the Lord in your heart, knowing that you're going to see them again one day. That is, if you've trusted Jesus as they did, you're going to see them again one day, because you did trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. we are to not to assume when we read this verse about causing the Holy Spirit grief, we're not to assume that the Holy Spirit literally endures grief or pain at the conduct of men. You see, the language is given in such a way that it helps us to understand the seriousness of doing something that is not pleasing in the Lord's sight, or not doing something that is pleasing in His, the Holy Spirit's sight. And once again, the Holy Spirit is with us, those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. The Bible says that we are indwelt by Him. He's here. He's with us. And He indwells every believer, every person who has named the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have the Holy Spirit living within them. And we might say this concerning the grieving of the Holy Spirit. We might say, do not act toward the Holy Spirit in such a way that would produce pain in the friend who really loves you. Now, many times we hurt those people who are around us, those humans that we love. Many times we hurt them. But how much more should we be aware and sorry that we would produce pain in our friend, the Holy Spirit? Now, Jesus Christ is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The Holy Spirit is living with us. And why should we cause Him pain? We should not be grieving the Holy Spirit. Now, we could also say that conduct of ingratitude and sin in our life lets the Holy Spirit down, causing Him to be disappointed in us. And I say this often, that we need to pray. We need to talk to the Lord on a regular basis. I do not pray enough. I need to pray more. We need to pray more. And we need to go to the Lord in prayer, and just when we talk with Him and we tell Him our needs, when we tell Him our troubles, we should also tell Him our thanks and give Him thanks for the things He's done in our lives and the things that He's going to do. We need to say, thank You, Lord, first of all, for saving my soul. Thank You for making it possible for me to be in heaven with You one day. And Lord, You are so good. You are the great God. There are no other gods beside You. Lord, I've trusted You as my Lord and Savior, and I love You today. You see, Lord, the Lord wants us to talk with Him. He wants us to let Him know that we know who He is. He wants us to let Him know that we know that He saved our souls, that He loves us, and He loved us so much that He came to the earth and gave His life for us. Now, we don't want Him to be disappointed in us. And so therefore, I believe that we need to do everything in our power, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to be living a life for Him, giving Him our lives, so that we can say one day, Lord, I did my best for You. And then we would hear Him say, welcome. Enter into Your rest, my servants. Enter into the rest that I have prepared for you. And let me remind you that when we enter into the rest, we're not just going to sit around. I think the Lord is still going to be teaching us. He's going to be there with us, and we're going to see and hear things that we never imagined could happen or take place. We're going to be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My prayer for you today is that you do know Him as your Savior. If not, you need to trust Him today. And if you do know Him, live for Him, trusting Him to lead and guide you in this life. Lord, lift me up, and
let me stand. You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.